Hi, Dave Emery here. This is For the Record program number 1109. Deutsche Bank, quote, suicides, unquote, the Supreme Court and Team Trump, subtitled Send in the Clowns, Part 2. This is being recorded on January 21st of the year 2020. Of course, the nation's attention, if one could talk about this country having any attention at all, is focused on the clown car of the impeachment proceedings in Washington, D.C., to make a long story short. Trump did, of course, by countermanding basically a congressional appropriation for military aid for Ukraine in exchange for dirt on Joe Biden's son, Hunter Biden. He, of course, did commit an impeachable offense. And, of course, he will not be convicted by the Republican Congress. Now that military aid to Ukraine has been put back on track, as I said before, Trump could do anything. He could call Ivanka up on stage after the State of the Union address, tear off her clothes and rape her with a dill pickle. No one would blink. But it would be a really big pickle, biggest pickle ever. We've really pretty much gotten to that point. For the Record, 944 was partially titled The Caligulization of America. And we really do have something of an American Caligula. Trump should not be seen as an aberration, but rather as the logical, or illogical would be a better way of putting it, progression or disintegration of this country and its institutions. Really, one of the things I went into in the two-part series about the death of Iris Chang was a portion of George W. Bush's history as well. Really, Bush 2 might be considered Trump 1, although he is not mentally ill like Trump is. Trump is actually a lot brighter than George W. Bush, which could be considered damning with faint praise. But George W. Bush is an incompetent, corrupt heir to a very competent and equally corrupt and much more lethal tradition or continuum. George H.W. Bush was consummately corrupt and extremely violent and lethal. He also was very competent. George W. Bush was just as corrupt, in the end just as lethal and utterly incompetent. We are stuck with the legacy of George W. Bush, not only our economy, but the bloodshed in the Middle East and many other things as well. While people are focused on the impeachment circus, and I believe that is what it is, Trump will be acquitted. He certainly did commit impeachable offenses, but on the overall scale of immorality and criminality, what Trump did is relatively trivial, even in terms of Trump's own criminality, and we'll be talking about that here. Well, apparent criminality. Suffice it to say that with the Intermarium continuity and the OUNB successor government in power in Ukraine, now receiving military aid, everything is back on track. Nowhere do you hear the Democrats talking about the Nazis who are holding the reins in Ukraine, although they have a relatively, he might actually be a pretty nice guy, a relatively feckless former television comedian as president now. The people holding the reins there, the military, the police, the national security establishment, the education department, and so forth, are the successors to the OUNB and the UPA. Things are so very bad now that one can merely look at some pictures. I would invite listeners to the program to go to the SpitfireList.com website and bring up For the Record program number 1072. Go to the select category, select For the Record, then put in hashtag 1072 and look at that large full-color picture from Lvov, Ukraine from the summer of 2018. It is the official celebration of the 75th anniversary of the founding of the 14th Waffen-SS Division. You've got the Ukrainian Armor Guard in the background, and three men dressed in enlisted men's or in lanzerer, that wasn't the correct term for an SS infantryman, but in Waffen-SS uniforms, including an officer's uniform. That pretty much says it. Nowhere in the discussion have the Democrats even mentioned that Barack Obama would not extend lethal aid to Ukraine, although he, like all presidents since JFK, is not really in control of the power structure of this country. He does affect it, and he would not sanction lethal aid, lethal military assistance to the Ukrainian government. Well, of course, that went by the boards, and nowhere do you hear the Democrats talking about that. Trump will be acquitted unless I have made some sort of amazing mistake, but the Republicans know what they're doing, and they want him back in power, or they want him to continue power in power. I suspect he will be return to office in 2020. I would note that Bernie Sanders and Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez are doing what they are supposed to do. The socialists for Trump and Hitler are attacking and attempting to discredit Elizabeth Warren and Joe Biden. More about that in future programs. And the American people have their heads stuck up their rear ends as per usual. What is not receiving discussion is the fact that there are some cases involving Deutsche Bank, Donald Trump's investments, attempts by congressional investigators to get a hold of Donald Trump's financial records that are now going to the Supreme Court. That is the Supreme Court that has Brett Kavanaugh and Neil Gorsuch sitting on it, both of whom clerked for Justice Anthony Kennedy. Anthony Kennedy's son, Justin Kennedy, was in charge of Deutsche Bank's real estate division when they were the only financial institution that would lend Donald Trump money. And as far as the Russiagate nonsense, and it is just that, it is a psyop. I've spoken about that at great length. We will come back and revisit one feature of that in the not-too-distant future when we have on the remarkable and brilliant Lucy Commissar talking about the Magnitsky Act and some of the features of that. But suffice it to say that when Neil Gorsuch and Brett Kavanaugh were in their confirmation hearings before the same Senate that is going to acquit Donald Trump, none of the Democratic senators brought up the fact that Neil Gorsuch and Brett Kavanaugh clerked for Anthony Kennedy, whose son was Donald Trump's banker, in effect. None of them asked either of them, Mr. Gorsuch or Judge Gorsuch or Judge Kavanaugh, if for the sake of argument some of the inquiries going on into Donald Trump's finances, including his dealings with Deutsche Bank, if they were to go to the Supreme Court, would you recuse yourself in light of the fact that you clerked for the man whose son was Donald Trump's banker? That would have been a very reasonable question to ask. But it didn't get asked. Instead, we saw the relative circus of Brett Kavanaugh's apparent drunken teenage assault on Dr. Christine Blasey Ford. She wasn't Dr. Ford at that point. Not something I excuse, but compared to the other things that Brett Kavanaugh has done, and again, I think that in and of itself, if that was the only thing, would have been grounds for disqualifying Brett Kavanaugh from the judgeship on, or the position on the Supreme Court. But considering that Brett Kavanaugh was at the very core of the dealings of the George W. Bush administration, the launching of two wars, one of which was in response to the, well, really both of which were responses to the 9/11 attacks perpetrated by the family of a, by a man whose family, the Bin Laden family, helped to capitalize Arbustil Energy, George W. Bush's first energy company. Bush, even before he became president, spoke about wanting to fix Saddam Hussein in Iraq. Iraq was not connected to the 9/11 attacks, but we invaded Iraq, and the mess that was started there is ongoing. Tremendous amount of bloodshed. And George W. Bush also was responsible for the financial collapse. I predicted that that was deliberately being engineered in June of 2003. 5 years later, sure enough, it happened. How many lives have been lost or ruined by that is anybody's guess. But compared to what was done to Dr. Blasey Ford, and I don't excuse such a thing, the massive destruction of human life that was to which Brett Kavanaugh was party as a fundamental part of the George W. Bush administration, that is indeed a trivial consideration. Well, in fact, cases involving Donald Trump's finances are indeed apparently going to the Supreme Court, an appeals court, rejected Donald Trump's attempts at blocking disclosure of his financial records, and now that is going to be heard by the Supreme Court. That is the same Supreme Court that will have Neil Gorsuch, a clerk for Anthony Kennedy, and a man who went to the same high school as Brett Kavanaugh, and in that same period of time was part of an informal group of students who called themselves the Fascism Forever Club. One might think that if such amount of attention was going to be paid to Brett Kavanaugh's apparently drunken teenage assault on Christine Blasey, which I don't excuse, the fact that another Supreme Court nominee thought fascism was a, not only apparently to an extent laudable, but certainly a humorous consideration, someone might have asked him about that, but nope, uh-uh.
You're listening to Dave Emery's For the Record. Long article-length descriptions of the For the Record programs are available at spitfirelist.com, also featuring information that wasn't in the original program due to the limitations of time.
We're going to be looking at not only the cases involving Bochebank and some remarkable things, Bochebank turning the other way apparently, when some of their staff had flagged transactions by Team Trump, not only Donald Trump, but Jared Kushner and others, as suspicious. We will be taking a look at some, quote, suicides, unquote. They may very well have been assisted suicides. And bear in mind that now these cases, or the an overlapping series of cases, are going to be heard by the Supreme Court, including Neil Gorsuch and Brett Kavanaugh, Brett Kavanaugh having taken Anthony Kennedy's place, who clerked for Anthony Kennedy, whose son was Donald Trump's main banker at Bochebank. Oh, yes, and Bochebank, last time I checked, is not a Russian bank. From the Law and Crime blog of November 27th of 2019, former Deutsche Bank executive who oversaw Trump's loans dies by suicide, reads in part. Thomas Bowers, B-O-W-E-R-S, identified as a former Deutsche Bank executive who signed off on controversial loans to President Donald Trump, died last week after apparently taking his own life at 55. According to Forensic News' Scott Stedman, quote, one source who has direct knowledge of the FBI's investigation into Vojebok said that federal investigators have asked about Bowers and documents he might have. One more time. One source who has direct knowledge of the FBI's investigation into Vojebok said that federal investigators have asked about Bowers and documents he might have. Another source who has knowledge of Vojebok's internal structure said that Bowers would have been the gatekeeper for financial documents for the bank's wealthiest customers, unquote. Again, these last sentences again, because this guy in late November of last year, quote, committed suicide, unquote. The suspicion is tough to shake that it may have been an assisted suicide. Quote, one source who has direct knowledge of the FBI's investigation into Vojebok said that federal investigators have asked about Bowers and documents he might have. Another source who has knowledge of Vojebok's internal structure said that Bowers would have been the gatekeeper for financial documents, for financial documents for the bank's wealthiest customers, unquote. Skipping down. The Los Angeles County Medical Examiner Coroner's initial report attributes Bowers' death to suicide by hanging. Bowers previously worked as Vojebok's head of the U.S. Private Wealth Management Division. According to the New York Times, Vojebok, quote, agreed in 2005 to lend Mr. Trump more than $500 million to build a skyscraper in Chicago. He personally guaranteed $40 million of it, meaning the bank could come after his personal assets if he defaulted. After that loan was extended and the relationship between Deutsche Bank and Trump was solidified, and well before it went sour in 2008, due to Trump being unable or unwilling to repay the first loan, banker Rosemary Vrablic, V-R-A-B-L-I-C, was assigned the Trump portfolio. Vrablic's direct boss during her relationship with Trump was Bowers, skipping down. Due to Vrablic's and Bowers' trust in Trump, Deutsche Bank loaned Trump $170 million as he transmogrified the old post office building in Washington, D.C. into what is now another Trump-branded hotel. Trump's ultimately unsuccessful billion-dollar effort to purchase the Buffalo Bills NFL franchise was also underwritten by the German investment firm. And the extended Trump clan got the benefits of that long working relationship as well. Again from the New York Times. Deutsche Bank also lent money to Donald Trump Jr. for a South Carolina manufacturing venture that would soon go bankrupt. It provided a $15 million credit line to Jared Kushner and his mother, according to financial documents reviewed by the Times. The bank previously had an informal ban on business with the Kushners because Jared's father, Charles, was a felon. The relationship continued into 2015 when an additional $19 million loan was dispensed for Trump's Doral estate. One final loan was broached in 2016. Trump needed money for his golf course in Scotland. But by then, Trump's rhetoric had worn thin with Deutsche Bank's upper echelons and their reputational risk committee. This is when he was running for president. And Bowers was out. He joined Starwood Capital Group. More about Trump and Deutsche Bank. Deutsche Bank faces criminal investigation for potential money laundering lapses. This by David Enrich, E-N-R-I-C-H or Enrich, Ben Protest, P-R-O-T-E-S-S, and William K. Rashbaum, R-A-S-H-B-A-U-M. This is from the New York Times of June 19th of last year, 2019. Federal authorities are investigating whether Deutsche Bank complied with laws meant to stop money laundering and other crimes. The latest government examination of potential misconduct at one of the world's largest and most troubled banks, according to seven people familiar with the inquiry. The investigation includes a review of Deutsche Bank's handling of so-called suspicious activity reports that its employees prepared about possibly problematic transactions, including some linked to President Trump's son-in-law and senior advisor, Jared Kushner, according to people close to the bank and others familiar with the matter. The criminal investigation into Deutsche Bank is one element of several separate but overlapping government examinations into how illicit funds flow through the American financial system, said five of the people who were not authorized to speak publicly about the inquiries. Several other banks are also being investigated. The FBI recently contacted the lawyer for a Deutsche Bank whistleblower, Tammy McFadden, capital M-C, capital F-A-D-D-E-N, who publicly criticized the company's anti-money laundering system, according to the lawyer, Brian McCafferty. Ms. McFadden, a former anti-money laundering compliance officer at the bank, told the New York Times last month that she had flagged transactions involving Mr. Kushner's family company in 2016, but the bank managers decided not to file the suspicious activity report she had prepared. Some of her colleagues had similar experiences in 2017 involving transactions in the accounts of Mr. Trump's legal entities. Although it was not clear whether the FBI was examining the bank's handling of those transactions. Again, some of her colleagues had similar experiences in 2017 involving transactions in the accounts of Mr. Trump's legal entities, although it was not clear whether the FBI was examining the bank's handling of those transactions. Now, note the following. The same federal agent who contacted Ms. McFadden's lawyer also participated in interviews of the son of a deceased Deutsche Bank executive, William S. Brokesmith, capital B-R-O-E-K-S-M-I-T. Agents told the son, Val Brokesmith, that the Deutsche Bank investigation began with an inquiry into the bank's work for Russian money launderers and had expanded to cover a broader array of potential misconduct at the bank and other financial institutions. One element is the bank's possible roles in a vast money laundering scandal at the Danish lender Danske Bank, according to people briefed on the investigation. FBI agents met this year with Val Brokesmith, whose father was a senior Deutsche Bank executive who committed suicide in January of 2014. Mr. Brokesmith said he had provided the agents with internal bank documents and other materials that he had retrieved from his father's personal emails. We talked about the death of Mr. Brokesmith in primarily For the Record 772 and again in For the Record 823. 772 had an article in it that I will excerpt here. A Reuters story from January 28th of 2014 by Belinda Goldsmith and Thomas Atkins. Ex-Deutsche Bank manager found dead in apparent suicide. William Brokesmith, a former senior manager at Deutsche Bank with close ties to co-chief executive Anshu, A-N-S-H-U, James, J-A-I-N, has been found dead at his home in London in what appears to have been a suicide. James and the bank's other CEO, Jürgen Fitchen, capital F-I-T-S-C-H-E-N, announced Brokesmith's death in an internal mail to Deutsche Bank employees. When asked about the death, London's Metropolitan Police issued a statement saying a 58-year-old man had been found hanging at a house in South Kensington on Sunday afternoon and been pronounced dead at the scene. Police declared the death non-suspicious. Brokesmith, a U.S. national, was an instrumental founder of Deutsche's Investment Bank and one of many bankers, including Mr. Jain, who joined Germany's flagship lender from Merrill Lynch in the 1990s when Deutsche Bank launched plans to compete on Wall Street. By the way, Merrill Lynch, closely affiliated with the Bush family. Continuing. Booksmith was also a principal actor in Deutsche's efforts to unwind its riskier positions and to reduce the size of its balance sheet in the wake of the global financial crisis. Skipping down. Booksmith worked alongside Jain at Merrill Lynch before joining Deutsche Bank in 1996 as part of a group of roughly 100 bankers who, alongside Edson Mitchell, EBSON, last name MITCHELL, formed the core of Deutsche's new investment banking business. Mitchell, one of the bank's most powerful executives, died in a plane crash in 2000. I think if one is interested in longevity, perhaps, the upper ranks of Deutsche Bank's investment division is not necessarily the best place to go. That, again, about the death of Mr. Booksmith. And reviewing again from this New York Times article from June 19th of last year, the same federal agent who contacted Ms. McFadden's lawyer also participated in the interviews of the son of a deceased Deutsche Bank executive, William S. Booksmith. Agents told the son, Val Booksmith, that the Deutsche Bank investigation began with an inquiry into the bank's work for Russian money launderers, but had expanded to cover a broader array of potential misconduct at the bank and at other financial institutions. So, once again, the Booksmith death and things proceeding from that and leading in the direction of, among other things, the dealings of Team Trump are on the front, and one hesitates to use the term burner, but that perhaps would not be inappropriate. Another, quote, suicide, unquote, at Deutsche Bank from Reuters of October 25th of 2014, whether or not this is relevant. Deutsche Bank lawyer found dead by suicide in New York by Thomas Atkins, Murray Wisniewski, and Andreas Kramer, C-R-E-M-E-R. A senior Deutsche Bank regulatory lawyer has been found dead in New York after committing suicide, New York City officials said on Saturday. Calogero Gambino, 41, was found on the morning of October 20th at his home in the New York borough of Brooklyn and pronounced dead on the scene, according to New York City police. Gambino was an associate general counsel and a managing director who worked for the German bank for 11 years, according to the Wall Street Journal, which first reported the death. I don't know whether there was any relationship between this and the dealings of Donald Trump, nor do I know if Calogero Gambino was in any way linked to the Gambino crime family, one of the preeminent mafia families in the U.S. But once again, quote, suicides, unquote, at Deutsche Bank appear to be a relatively common form of death.
You're listening to Dave Emery's For the Record. You can subscribe to the comments posted on the SpitfireList.com website, most of them by a brilliant contributing editor who uses the moniker Terra Fractal, specializing, but by no means exclusively, in economic and financial matters.
Now, back to the dealings of Team Trump and Deutsche Bank. Once again from the New York Times, this from May 19th of 2019. Deutsche Bank staff saw suspicious activity in Trump and Kushner accounts. This is by David Enrich of the New York Times. Anti-money laundering specialists at Deutsche Bank recommended in 2016 and 2017 that multiple transactions involving legal entities controlled by Donald J. Trump and his son-in-law Jared Kushner be reported to a federal financial crimes watchdog. The transactions, some of which involved Mr. Trump's now-defunct foundation, set off alerts in a computer system designed to detect illicit activity, according to five current and former bank employees. Compliance staff members who then reviewed the transactions prepared so-called suspicious activity reports that they believed should be sent to a unit of the Treasury Department that polices financial crimes. That's headed up by Steve Mnuchin. Good effing luck with that. Okay, continuing. But executives at Deutsche Bank, which has lent billions of dollars to the Trump and Kushner companies, rejected their employees' advice. The reports were never filed with the government. The nature of the transactions was not clear. At least some of them involved money flowing back and forth with overseas entities or individuals, which bank employees considered suspicious. Continuing and skipping down. Ms. McFadden and some of her colleagues said they believed the report had been killed to maintain the private banking division's strong relationship with Mr. Kushner. After Mr. Trump became president, transactions involving him and his companies were reviewed by an anti-financial crime team at the bank called the Special Investigations Unit. That team, based in Jacksonville, produced multiple suspicious activity reports, including different entities that Mr. Trump owned or controlled, according to three former Deutsche Bank employees who saw the reports in an internal computer system. Some of those reports involved Mr. Trump's limited liability companies. At least one was related to transactions involving the Donald J. Trump Foundation, two employees said. Deutsche Bank ultimately chose not to file those suspicious activity reports with the Treasury Department either, according to three former employees. They said it was unusual for the bank to reject a series of reports involving the same high-profile client. I would add, not one. That is the president of the U.S. or some of his family. More about Team Trump. The Washington Post of June 25th of 2017, article by Michael Kranish, capital K-R-A-N-I-S-H, Kushner firm's $285 million Deutsche Bank loan came just before Election Day. Imagine that. 1 month before Election Day, Jared Kushner's real estate company finalized a $285 million loan as part of a refinancing package for its property near Times Square in Manhattan. The loan came at a critical moment. Kushner was playing a key role in the presidential campaign of his father-in-law, Donald Trump. The lender, Deutsche Bank, was negotiating to settle a mortgage fraud case and charges from New York state regulators that had aided a possible Russian money laundering scheme. The cases were settled in December and January. The Deutsche Bank loan capped what Kushner companies viewed as a triumph. One more time. The Deutsche Bank loan, again, $285 million, finalized the day before Election Day, 2016. The Deutsche Bank loan capped what Kushner companies viewed as a triumph. It had purchased four mostly empty retail floors of the former New York Times building in 2015, recruited tenants to fill the space, and got the Deutsche Bank loan in a refinancing deal that gave Kushner's company $74 million more than it paid for the property. This is the day before Election Day. $285 million. And again, it had purchased four mostly empty retail floors of the former New York Times building in 2015, recruited tenants to fill the space, and got the Deutsche Bank loan in a refinancing deal that gave Kushner's company $74 million more than it paid for the property. Nice work if you can get it, and I guess if your father-in-law is running for president the day before Election Day, you can get it from Deutsche Bank. More from the New York Times from late last year, October 10th of 2019. Also by David Enrich or Enrich, capital E-N-R-I-C-H, or Enrich, perhaps, would be an interesting way. And I mean no disrespect to the gentleman, but yeah, this is the things he's reporting on have enriched Donald Trump. Deutsche Bank does not have Trump's tax returns, court says. If investigators are going to get their hands on President Trump's tax returns, they will have to find them somewhere other than Deutsche Bank. The German bank, which for nearly two decades was the only mainstream financial institution consistently willing to lend money to Mr. Trump, has told a federal appeals court that it does not have the president's personal tax returns, the court said on Tuesday. Democratic-controlled congressional committees issued subpoenas to Deutsche Bank this year for financial records related to the president, his companies, and his family. Mr. Trump sued the bank, which became his main lender after a string of bankruptcies cost other banks hundreds of millions of dollars to block it from complying. This again with the Democratic-controlled congressional committees, which issued subpoenas to Deutsche Bank. Mr. Trump sued the bank, which became his main lender after a string of bankruptcies cost other banks hundreds of millions of dollars to block it from complying. That litigation is working its way through the federal courts. Last month, the New York Times and other media outlets asked the United States Court of Appeals for the Second Circuit in New York to unseal a letter from Deutsche Bank that identified two members of the Trump family whose tax returns the bank possesses. On Thursday, the court rejected the request. Part of the reason, it said, was that Deutsche Bank had informed the court that, quote, the only tax returns it has for individuals and entities named in the subpoenas are not those of the president, unquote. Current and former bank officials previously told the New York Times that Deutsche Bank did have portions of Mr. Trump's personal and corporate tax returns. Again, current and former bank officials previously told the New York Times that Deutsche Bank had portions of Mr. Trump's personal and corporate tax returns. Now, the following is more than a little interesting. This is from Newsweek of October 11th of 2019 by Shane Croucher, C-R-O-U-C-H-E-R. Deutsche Bank might have destroyed physical copies of Trump's tax returns, cleansed servers, claims former executive, colon report. One more time. Deutsche Bank might have destroyed physical copies of Trump's tax returns, cleansed servers, claims former executive. A former Deutsche Bank executive who reviewed President Donald Trump's tax returns reportedly said that it is, quote, not normal, unquote, that the institution no longer holds copies of those records. Trump for many years relied on Deutsche Bank for loans to sustain his real estate business when many other institutions would not lend to him because of his rocky financial history. The president is accused by some, including his former attorney Michael Cohen, of manipulating the value of his assets to either secure finance or reduce his tax bill. One more time, the first sentence. A former Deutsche Bank executive who reviewed President Donald Trump's tax returns reportedly said it is, quote, not normal, unquote, that the institution no longer holds copies of those records. Again, skipping down. He has broken with recent precedent for presidents and refused to release publicly all of his recent tax returns, despite pressure to do so. Congress is investigating Trump's finances and attempting to get hold of his tax returns from Deutsche. But the bank told the Second U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals that it did not hold them. David Enreich, finance editor at the New York Times, posted to Twitter a screenshot of his conversation with the unnamed executive in which they expressed surprise that Deutsche had told a federal appeals court that it did not have the president's tax returns anymore. Quote, "Holy F blank blank K," the executive wrote per the screenshot. Quote, "The circumstance could be that they returned any physical copies or destroyed any physical copies under an agreement with a client and cleansed their servers. Not normal, though." Unquote. Well, that speaks for itself. Again, an unnamed Deutsche Bank former executive. Holy F blank blank K, the executive wrote for the screenshot. Quote, "The circumstance could be that they returned any physical copies or destroyed any physical copies under an agreement with a client and cleansed their servers." Now, the suicides, unquote, of particularly Mr. Bowers in late November of last year, and also of William Bokesmith, whose son, Val Bokesmith, has now given documents to the FBI for some of the Trump Kushner-related investigations, should be weighed against the following. And this also obviously impinges on the circus going on in Washington. From Talking Points memo of October 23rd of 2019, this is by Josh Kovensky, capital K-O-V-E-N-S-K-Y. "We have now arrived at the logical endpoint of Trump's immunity argument. I wasn't expecting laughter in court today, but as the Second Circuit Court of Appeals in Manhattan, there were stifled chortles as personal attorneys for President Trump finally arrived at the logical destination of their argument that he is immune not only from prosecution, but from investigation. It came in Trump's appeal challenging a state grand jury subpoena for financial records from his longtime accounting firm Mazars USA, or M-A-Z-A-R-S. Manhattan District Attorney General Counsel Carrie Dunn told the appeals court that Trump was acting as if the law did not apply to him. One more time. It came in Trump's appeal challenging a state grand jury subpoena for financial records from his longtime accounting firm, Mazars USA. Manhattan District Attorney General Counsel Carrie Dunn, D-U-N-M-E, told the appeals court that Trump was acting as if the law did not apply to him and was trying to have it both ways by asserting executive protections over an investigation that concerned his private business. Trump Attorney William Consovoy, capital C-O-N-S-O-V-O-Y, had argued that not only does the Constitution prevent a sitting president from indictment, but it also prevents criminal investigation or, quote, process, unquote, from being applied to the head of state. Dunn brought up Trump's famous statement when he caught fire during the 2016 Republican primary, saying, quote, "I could stand in the middle of Fifth Avenue and shoot somebody, and I wouldn't lose any voters," unquote. One more time. Dunn brought up Trump's famous statement when he caught fire during the 2016 Republican primary, saying, "I could stand in the middle of Fifth Avenue and shoot somebody, and I wouldn't lose any voters." Quote, "If he did pull out a handgun and shoot someone on Fifth Avenue," Dunn asked, "would the local police be restrained?" Unquote. "Would we have to wait for impeachment?" Unquote, he added. If the judges were moved by Dunn's argument, it wasn't immediately obvious. The trio, composed of Democrat-appointed Chief Judge Robert Katzmann, Judge Demi Chin, and Judge Christopher Droney, stayed typically stone-faced. But when Consovoy retook the podium with his booming voice and somewhat bilious affect, fielding more questions from the court. He doubled down on his argument that congressional, federal, and state bodies are forbidden from investigating a sitting president. Judge Chin raised Dunn's point. He asked Consovoy for his, quote, view on the Fifth Avenue example, unquote. Again, quoting, local authorities couldn't investigate? They couldn't do anything about it, he asked. Quote, no, replied a visibly annoyed Consovoy amid stifled chortles. Quote, nothing could be done, that's your position, Chin repeated. Quote, that is correct, Consovoy responded. And again, I think not only what is going on in Washington now, but various other things Trump has, in particular the, quote, suicides, particularly that of Mr. Bowers at that most opportune time, should be evaluated in light of what his team is saying. Basically, he could kill someone and couldn't be indicted as long as he couldn't be investigated as long as he was president. And again, this is now, some of these investigations are going to the Supreme Court. From the New York Times of December 3rd of 2019 by David Enright, Corinne Rich, Trump loses appeal on Deutsche Bank subpoenas, unquote. A federal appeals court said Tuesday that Deutsche Bank must turn over detailed documents about President Trump's finances to two congressional committees, a ruling that will most likely be appealed to the Supreme Court. Democratic-controlled congressional committees issued subpoenas to two banks, Deutsche Bank, long Mr. Trump's biggest lender, and Capital One, this year for financial records related to the president, his companies, and his family. Mr. Trump sued the banks to block them from complying. Mr. Trump's lawyer, Jay Sekulow, S-E-K-U-L-O-W, said in a statement that, quote, we are evaluating our next options, including seeking review at the Supreme Court of the United States, unquote. He called the congressional subpoenas, quote, invalid as issued, unquote. Trump has 7 days to seek a further delay from the high court before the banks must comply. Mr. Trump, who anyway talks about how he would not disclose his finances. Two other cases involving the disclosure of his tax returns to the Manhattan District Court to a congressional committee are awaiting action by the court. But the requests for documents from Deutsche Bank are notable because of the breadth of financial information they could provide about Mr. Trump and his business dealings. Deutsche Bank became Mr. Trump's main lender after a string of bankruptcies and loans. The loan defaults cost other banks hundreds of millions of dollars over the past 2 decades. The German bank lent him and his companies a total of well over $2 billion. The bank's files would most likely contain a rich trove of documents, including details about how he made his money, who his partners have been, the terms of his extensive borrowings, and other transactions. The subpoenas issued in April by the House Financial Services and Intelligence Committees sought nearly a decade's worth of tax returns and other financial documents from the banks obtained from Mr. Trump, his family and his companies. The subpoenas also demanded information about any suspicious activities that Deutsche Bank detected in Mr. Trump's accounts. Skipping down. The ruling concluded, quote, the committee's interests in pursuing their constitutional legislative function is a far more significant public interest than whatever public is a far more significant public interest than whatever public interest inheres in avoiding the risk of a chief executive's distraction arising from disclosure of documents reflecting his private financial transactions. In two similar cases, the president has asked the Supreme Court to overrule lower courts and to block attempts to review his finances. Last month, the Supreme Court issued a temporary stay related to a subpoena that the House Oversight and Reform Committee issued in April. Mr. Trump has also filed a petition seeking review of a request from prosecutors in Manhattan who are seeking information from his accounting firm, Mazars USA. And again, apparently this appeal is going now to the Supreme Court. It would not surprise me. Who knows what Trump is going to do? It will be interesting to watch how the Supreme Court behaves on this because, again, Neil Gorsuch, clerk with Anthony Kennedy. Judge Kavanaugh, clerk with Anthony Kennedy. Judge Kavanaugh took Anthony Kennedy's place. And Justin Kennedy, Anthony Kennedy's son, was in charge of the real estate lending division of Deutsche Bank, was basically one of the top officials at Deutsche Bank, or the top official, lending money to Donald Trump.
You're listening to Dave Emery's For the Record. All of Dave Emery's 36 years of work is available for download on the SpitfireList.com website. The site includes many articles not included in the programs, as well as a small library of old anti-fascist books. All of the material on the website is available for free. Sister station WFMU is podcasting the For the Record programs. To subscribe to the podcast, use the link at the top of the description for this program or on the front page.
For the New York Times of June 28th of 2018, Adam Liptak and Maggie Haberman, inside the White House's quiet campaign to create a Supreme Court opening, unquote, some highlights. He, Trump, picked Justice Neil M. Gorsuch, who had served as a law clerk to Justice Kennedy, to fill Justice Scalia's seat. Then, after Justice Gorsuch's nomination was announced, a White House official singled out two candidates for the next Supreme Court vacancy. Judge Brett M. Kavanaugh of the U.S. Court of Appeals for the District of Columbia Circuit and Judge Raymond M. Kethledge, K-E-T-H-L-E-D-G-E, of the United States Court of Appeals for the Sixth Circuit in Cincinnati. The two judges had something in common. They both clerked for Justice Kennedy. In the meantime, as the White House turned to stocking the lower courts, it did not overlook Justice Kennedy's clerks either. Mr. Trump nominated three of them to federal appeals courts, Judges Stefanos Bibas, B-I-B-A-S, and Michael Scubber, S-C-U-B-B-E-R, both of whom have been confirmed, and Eric Murphy, the Ohio Solicitor General, whom Mr. Trump nominated to the Sixth Circuit this month. And the Kennedy Senior and Junior, Justice Kennedy's son, Justin Kennedy, spent more than a decade at Deutsche Bank, eventually rising to become the bank's global head of real estate capital markets, and he worked closely with Mr. Trump when he was a real estate developer, according to two people with knowledge of his role. During Mr. Kennedy's tenure, Deutsche Bank became Mr. Trump's most important lender, dispensing well over $1 billion in loans to him for the renovation and construction of skyscrapers in New York and Chicago at a time that other mainstream banks were wary of doing business with him because of his troubled business history. Again, Justice Kennedy's son, Justin, spent more than a decade at Deutsche Bank, eventually rising to become the bank's global head of real estate capital markets, and he worked closely with Mr. Trump when he was a real estate developer, according to two people with knowledge of his role. During Mr. Kennedy's tenure, Deutsche Bank became Mr. Trump's most important lender, dispensing well over $1 billion in loans to him for the renovation and construction of skyscrapers in New York and Chicago at the time. Other mainstream banks were wary of doing business with him because of his troubled business history. That, folks, for Judges Gorsuch and Kavanaugh is your basic garden variety conflict of interest. And the Justin Kennedy Trump family connection does not stop there. From the Medium blog of March 1st of 2017 by Cesar Bernstein and Gabe Rusk, R-U-S-K, the Kennedy, Kushner, and Trump connection, a curious conversation and a business deal. Justice Kennedy had two very successful sons in their own right, Gregory and Justin Kennedy. Gregory, by the way, linked to Peter Thiel. Skimming down. Justin Kennedy, a graduate of UCLA and Stanford, again like his father, had spent his career in the world of banking, investment, and, interestingly, real estate. In particular, from 2010 to 2013, and this is after Deutsche Bank, right? In particular, from 2010 to 2013, Justin Kennedy was the co-CEO of LNR Property LLC with Tobin Cobb. In the world of high-stakes New York City real estate, it would be fairly improbable that the Trump or Kushner groups, monoliths in their own right, would not have mingled or done business with the LNR at some point in time. We were not surprised, therefore, to discover that there is a likely connection. Here's what we know. According to the New York Times, in 2007, Kushner Companies purchased an aluminum-clad office in Midtown Manhattan for a record $1.8 billion. At the time, the New York Times wrote that this deal was considered a classic example of reckless underwriting. The transaction was so highly leveraged that the cash flow from rents amounted to only 65% of the debt service. The Times continues, as many real estate companies predicted, the deal ran into trouble. Instead of rising, rents declined as the recession took hold and new leases were scarce. In 2010, the loan was transferred to a special servicer on the assumption that a default would occur once reserve funds being used to subsidize the shortfall were bled dry. But the story may yet have a happy ending for Kushner, a family-owned business that moved its headquarters from Florham Park, New Jersey, to 666 Fifth Avenue, its first major acquisition in Manhattan. Who came to the rescue? None other than LNR Property, the company whose CEO at the time was Justin Kennedy. According to the New York Times and The Real Deal, Mr. Kushner and LNR reached a possible agreement with LNR Property, a firm specializing in restructuring troubled debt and which oversees the mortgage, that would allow him to retain control of the tower by modifying the terms of the $1.2 billion mortgage tied to the office portion of the building. A spokesman for Mr. Kushner told the Wall Street Journal in March of 2011 that, quote, the Kushners are ready and willing to invest more money into the property as soon as they can come to mutually satisfactory terms with the servicing agent. And once again, Justin Kennedy rides to the rescue. But, of course, we're not hearing about this in connection with the impeachment proceedings, and don't bet on Neil Gorsuch and or Brett Kavanaugh recusing themselves from any review or any ruling on the review of the appellate court ruling that negated Trump's attempts at blocking disclosure of the financial records. And again, Deutsche Bank, last time I checked, is not a Russian bank. It is, of course, deeply affiliated and long has been with the remarkable and deadly Bormann Flight Capital Organization, excerpting once again from the book Martin Bormann, Nazi in Exile by Paul Manning, available for download for free on the SpitfireList.com website of the FBI file on Martin Bormann. The file revealed that he had been banking under his own name from his office in Germany in Deutsche Bank of Buenos Aires since 1941, and that he held one joint account with the Argentinian dictator Juan Perón, and on August 4th, 5th, and 14th, 1967, had written checks on demand accounts in First National City Bank Overseas Division of New York, the Chase Manhattan Bank, and Manufacturers Hanover Trust Company, all of which cleared through Deutsche Bank of Buenos Aires. Interesting that those, given that the Bormann Group and Heinrich Müller worked with CIA, he wrote three checks on August 4th, 5th, and 14th of 1967. We know what happened in April and June of the following year. In any event, that wraps things up for today. This concludes For the Record program number 1009. Deutsche Bank, quote, suicides, unquote, the Supreme Court and Team Trump, subtitled Send in the Clowns, part two, being recorded on January 21st of the year 2020. I'm Dave Emery. Have fun.